finish up. Again, there's much more to talk about in care of Kalal, but we're not. I guess we're not learning all of those, right? Not Tansets, maybe we should.
Maybe there's
some. Roko. Okay.
Roko. Ravitzin wants it.
I remember it well. She does.
Yeah, she's fine.
okay, so we're going to finish up our discussion with today, but it is a massive topic, and there are all sorts of really interesting Adeshitos, Tarbeno Hananel, and Balamor, and Raibitz. Maybe some other time we'll just put in another 10 minutes, at least some Ayein, some interesting Midchas Chinuchs. Actually, Asher brought to my attention a couple of points, but there are other points also in the Midchas Chinuch. So if we have a chance, we'll try to stick it in, but for today, what I wanted to do is just finish up what we started last time, and that is going through some of the Lashonos of the Rishonim, confirming, I guess, what we've already done, which is that there is a range of views, and that the Rishonim themselves are struggling, about the subtlety, I guess, of this din of Cherev Harehu Kachal. Again, we got into this. Just to remind everybody, the little Tosis in Bava Kama, Dav Beis and Beis, right? The Gemara said that when it comes to Tumma, told the same Lap Kiyotza Bahen. Tosis challenged that with the Sugya of, based on the Sugya of Cherev Harehu Kachalo. Again, the question itself, to be taken seriously assumes, number one, that Cherev Kachalo is a kind of a tolda. And that it is kiyotze bahen. Those are the two assumptions, right? We could have said that it's not a tolda. Cherev is so kechalo that that it's an av, right? It's just like when they were talking about the avos of Shabbos, we weren't talking, assuming there's a category called main av, right? No one was talking about the relationship between zoreya and noteya. They were talking about the relationship between zoreya and being mashke, or something like that. So you could have said that Cherev Kachalo, is so powerful, and it is an Av HaTumma, it's not a Vlad HaTumma. Of course, that's a little bit tricky. Second, you say it's a Vlad HaTumma, it certainly can't be Kiyotze Bahen, because of the Dinam of Vlad HaTumma. So we also understand that it's a little bit, of a tricky issue here. But all I'm saying is, if it's, a total clone, then you don't get to this point. Or if it's a Shem Av, but it's totally independent. Again, it was generated by, the definition is connected to the transmission from, the source, the Aviavos HaTumma in one case, or the Tmei Meis in another case. But at the end of the day, we're talking about a Chalos Bifnei Atzmo. So that doesn't challenge the notion of, for the same Kiyotzim. Just as I mentioned the other day, you have to look at the sugya there in Meruba, but Mishka Bazav is another, and there are a few others like this as well, a good example where the Mishka Bazav becomes a Mishka Bazav because of the Zav. But the Mishka Bazav is an Av. So Tosa's theory could have asked the same question. Right? They could have said, well, what about Mishka Bazav? That's the case. But they didn't. And what I was interested in Meruba is, whether or not, Bailus has anything to do with Mishka Bazav. That's what some of the Rishonim point out. And I don't want to go into the sugya, but they say, if we're talking about Tumah and its contamination and its transmission, so, who cares who the Bailum are, right? But the point is that, again, the question is parallel, though the solution might be different, and that is that, if you saw Mishka Bazav, as a superconductor, that would be one thing, but more likely is that it is a category, and it's the shame Mishka Vazav. So of course it becomes a Mishka Vazav through contact with the Zav, but then when you're touching the Mishka Vazav, it's Betoras, your Kesher to the Mishka Vazav, not your continuing Kesher to the Zav through it, or your second level connection to the Zav, which are both different things too, as we've tried to explain. So it's interesting that Tosas didn't ask that question, but one could have answered the Cherev Kachala question by saying it's like Mishka Vazav. And I think the Rambam, probably, and maybe the Ramban, would have. So the question itself kind of betokens, kind of a dialectical, perspective. And that is that on the one hand, it isn't an Av, it's not the Av, it's not, an extension of it, you know, like the Urim was kind of suggesting, and it's also not like a main of, you know, something that, you know, was born through it, but is different, but has its own status. Somehow, you know, it's enough of a tolda. It's not a vlada tova. It's enough of a tolda that you can, you know, as we continue to see it as, you know, the child of the mace in some respect, that's a legitimate question. And then, you know, the question is it too kiyotzebo? Now, Tosa's answer ends up being it's not kiyotzebo enough, and that could have been challenged too, because this idea that, you know, keli b'keli, the kelim shniyim, doesn't have the transmission, also, as I say, could be understood in different ways. So if you're just looking for a nafgamina because, you know, you're not really so serious about the categories, then it's an easy answer. But if you're really interested, like, conceptually in what's going on here, then a certain perspective on why kelim shniyim doesn't work doesn't answer the question. And then you just say, well, the opposite. It's such a strong karev kalal that it's not really a tolda. So anyway, that's how we got into this. But what we've been trying to demonstrate, I'll take your question in one more second, is that you have a chafa dimyon, you have a objective, you know, kind of a, you know, if you just look at the case and you're wondering about it, you know, you would be wondering how, you know, how much cherub is kakalo. And then when you start looking at the evidence, you see that this is a whole world, and, you know, it's really complicated. There are all sorts of different makoros and different shitos. There are 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, whatever it is, nafkamina, you know, or issues to talk about, and we've identified them. And then the question is, what do you do with it all? So what we've seen so far is that mostly the Balei Tosas, with some exceptions here and there, I would love to go through all of them, but mostly the Balei Tosas, Rabbeinu Tam, and the influence of Rabbeinu Tam, take the view that Cherev Kachal is a very, very serious equation. And again, I think our Tosis Bava Kama's question flows from that. And, you know, well, you know, the strongest, maybe, expression is that Urayim, you know, who says it does apply even to Tumas Kohanim. And to the question, you know, but how is this different than other things that aren't Atzmo Shomeis in terms of Nazir being Megaleach? His answer is it's a Geres HaKasuv or it's a Din. It's like Atzmo Shomeis. We tried to explain what that might mean. But in the end of the day, that's still a very strong statement. And that's a certain extreme. It's limited to Mateches, if you say that. We talked about that also. You know, whether which Kalim it applies to affects the way that it works in the scope of the Din. That's an open and interesting question. We'll see the language of the Ramban in a minute. But that's one school, let's say. And even then, you know, again, we'll see that the Ramban's version of Rabbeinu Tam, there are different versions of Rabbeinu Tam. What does Rabbeinu Tam really hold? You know, by Azhara Lekoe. Again, the Urayim assumes that that Rabbeinu Tam goes all in for everything. You know, Ohel, and Giluach Nazir, and Bias Mikdash, and Azaras Kohen, like, you know, everything goes. Everything pretty much, maybe everything but you know, Kalim Shniyim. And then in the exact opposite, we find some Rishonim who really, really minimize and narrow Cherev Rav Chal. Again, the Ravid, you know, has different, we have different reports of the Ravid. Let's say the Ravid of Mishnah Torah, Yad HaChazaka, Rav Tifas Nazir, we'll see in a minute, seems to say that it's only Bechiburim. Right, and in Tumas Meis, you know, he has, you know, a wider view, and it's like either a chiburin, right, or a cheret, like the murder weapon, you know, itself. You know, probably the same murder weapon, by the way, as we encountered, you know, last year, right? No?
Down the farther?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Reish Lakish, you know.
I'm
Shimon Shatta, sorry. You know, the that same right, dripping sword. Anyways, the very good. See, I knew Alex would help us out here.
It's
so
such a vivid image.
What?
It's a vivid image.
Yeah, it was a vivid. It really is. Right? So that's why you can see, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, the rabbi would say cherev kachol. You know, how could it be? But, you know, shimon shatach skara. You know, it can be. Not just because the dam is like still there. It's not the dam, like, you know, it's the image, right? It's the dam is always there. It's always, you know, metaftef, and you know, even if you clean it off and you, you know, it's like the Zacharias, you know, story, right? Anyways, yeah, I don't want to get too far afield. But all I'm trying to say is there are some Rishonim who, like, really, really minimized Cherev Kachal. In the opposite degree, there are Rishonim who think that Cherev Kachal, you know, in addition to the Ireim, could apply to all sorts of other things, maybe. And that I don't want to get into right now because we'll get too far afield, but, you know, maybe even to a Rishon, maybe even to a Tful Yom, you know, of Tumas Mei, maybe there are Cherev Kachalos, you know, applying all the time. You know, even on the lower Madregos, you know, in the superconductor, you know, sense of it. So you have like a very, very wide range in all of this. Reb Chaim Cohen, you know, in the Baalei Tosfos world at least, is staking out, you know, somewhat of a middle position. Right? Reb Chaim Cohen is saying that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work for Tumas Kohanim, right? Because then, you know, Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shamnes, right? He was just, it's fascinating also, like he, you know, it was, you know, he was very influenced by the Metzius, by the inconceivability of it, like, you know, but only, you know, only a serious, you know, member of the Chachmei HaMesorah can kind of make that, you know, call, like, Lo Yitachein, you know, that we have a situation where everybody's tummy to Tumas Meis, you know. What? And he was a Kohen also. Right, so maybe he was particularly sensitive, you know, to this, to the impossibility of this. We'll see that the Ramban also really, you know, he considers that very, I mean, Ramban is quoting Reb Chaim Cohen, but he likes that part of it. He also looks for some diukim and rayas from Torah Shabbat, which is also a fascinating phenomenon, which we'll read inside in just a second. But in the end of the day, so Reb Chaim Cohen, you know, in the Baalei Tosfos world is already saying, you know, Ein Nazir Megalea Chalav, and Tumas Kohen doesn't apply. Presumably he would say the same thing about Bias Mikdash, right? But what he, where he draws a line is Hazaz Gimel V'Zayin. But he does still think that Hazaz Gimel V'Zayin applies to Cherev Kachal. Anyways, we have one extreme, and then we have the other extreme. And I say there are some nuances in all the extremes. But what I wanted to do now was at least read the inside, at least the information, you know, the evidence of the Ramban and the Rambam, because I think that the Ramban and the Rambam are the ones who most strongly, you know, reflect the, you know, the struggle, you know, with a more nuanced view of Cherev Kachalal, right? Instead of saying it's, you know, it doesn't mean it at all, you know, or, you know, it means it completely or almost completely, right? They, you know, are definitely struggling with where to draw the line. And the assumption of that is, and this is what I meant the other day, that, you know, if you're going to distinguish, you know, and if it's not just one distinction either, it's more than one, like in the dinim of Tumas Meis, let's say there's more than two categories, that there are those who say it's all or nothing, and therefore there's only one category. Let's say we do think Nazir Megaleach is different and some of the things that come with it. So then there are two categories. But if we think that some things, you know, if we think there are three categories, and that can be reflected both in Cherev Kachalal and in the relationship between Cherev Kachalal and other satellite cases of Tumas Meis, then we are pushed to understand with greater refinement and greater nuance what these levels of Tumas Meis are and what everything is dependent upon. And that's what we tried to do last. Last time we tried to identify the Nafka Mina and also to formulate in different ways what Cherev Kachalal might be in terms of, right, you know, being superconductivity, being, you know, a Chalos Bifnei Atzmo, being a way of a mechayev of the tumah of the mace completely or in a secondary level, as opposed to, you know, just being the second level of its connection but not considered a kesher to the mace itself. So all of these distinctions are going to be necessary to understand either Lashonos of Rishonim or to understand the distinctions that emerge from it. So I just want to take a few minutes now, if we could, to read the two Rambans and then just to look at the language of the Rambam. The Rambam is just, you know, massive, because of the Enosei Kelim on the Rambam, you know, have a field day, because the Rambam seems to contradict himself all over the place, and that's not typical of the Rambam. It does show that he's really struggling mightily, you know, with these distinctions. So some cases, there, you know, probably are not discrepancies, and in other cases there seem to be. Again, the Rambam sometimes changed his mind, even in Mishnah Torah, as we know. We know from the Divrei Sofer in Kiddushei Kesef and a few other cases, but that he was constantly editing, both in Perushim Mishnayos and occasionally in Yad HaChazakah. You know, we have some of the manuscripts of the Rambam himself, where he crossed things out and so on, in addition to the reports that we have. But clearly, in this issue, when somebody revisits the same issue again and again, you know, at length, you know, even though it's one integrated work, you know, where he's dealt with it, and you know, each time or many times, the formulations are slightly different from each other, you know, and the person is a master organizer and a master, you know, formulator to begin with. So that alone indicates that the topic is a tough topic, and that the possibilities, you know, are very subtle, and that he is really struggling with them. So that's what's going on with the Ramban, certainly, and even more so in this case, you know, with the usually unflappable, you know, very, you know, powerful, you know, in his conviction, Rambam. There's so many royalties in this topic, you know, that it's, you know, just shocking almost. Everything is royally, right? And as I say, the Rambam does plenty, you know, that is independent and based on global conviction all the time without royalties. So when he's admitting it or saying it, you can see that he is really struggling. So I just want to go through the Lashonos to see that. Okay, so who's going to... Azriel, do you mind? Do the Ramban. First, let's look at the Ramban al Torah. I just want to make a few ha'aras along the way, just to make sure that we fully appreciate... everybody can understand the Ramban when you read it. I just want to make the point that even the way that he writes about these things is, again, a reflection of this struggle. You know, basically, what we're doing... You know, here in the year 2018, or, you know, Tav, Shin, what are we up to? Ayin Tes? Yeah. I mean, we're doing, what all of the great, you know, Chachmei HaMesorah did before us. You know, we're struggling with the same questions, basically. And you can really see it, you know, when you read carefully the language that they use. So the background, by the way, of this Ramban is a previous Ramban a little bit, where he also notes what the Rambam begins Hilchos Tumas Beis with, and that is that the Torah Shebichtav presentation of certain dinim, simply the evidence in some cases, you know, can be incomplete, and the question is, how do you handle that? Right. We'll talk about the Rambam in a minute. But the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tumas Beis, Halacha Aleph and Beis, really starts, you know, with the issue of Masa. And that kind of sets the tone in Tumas Beis, if you ask me, you know, for some of these issues. Why are certain things in Torah Shebichtav and certain things are not? Is there a hierarchy? You know, what is the significance of that, etc.? So the Ramban was also into that, and basically is, you know, starts... In Pasuk Yudalid, who did I just ask? Yeah, Azriel.
Tam Adam Kiyamas V'Oel. Adam Kiyamas V'Hu Ata V'Oel. Oshe
Dibra Kosev V'Oel.
V'Hu Adinim Yamas V'Chutz Dich Nisuhu L'Oel. Kol Abal O'Oel V'Asher V'Oel. Hakilim Shebesocho V'Oel Atmo V'Chal Hazeh. Kmo Sh'Amar V'Hiza
Hazeh. V'Hiza O'Oel V'Kol Hakilim
O'Oel. V'Hiza O'Oel V'Hashas Asher Hayud Sham. V'izkir ha-kosev ha-oel ha-hagid shu atzmo tamei shiva v'tzarech ha-zaya. V'od m'vnei sh'ha Yisrael yoshvei olim v'midbar v'davar ha-kosev v'hove ki ha-mitzo miyad u'l-doros.
Okay, so this is all very helpful for the Ramban, just to explain, you know, what the relevance of this din in the background. But then he has, then he gets into the maga quest, the mago masa question. Go ahead.
Behine hisker kaso v'meis tumas maga v'ohel below hisker bo masa avara usenu dorshin oso v'kavu chomer min hanavela umarbim oso l'tumas shiva kimaga.
It's quoting that this basically a quotation of also of that Rambam.
V'chenu kifi pshat kasev hisker kiva adam hamis v'ashafa tumas shiva v'azaya v'maga.
So this is very helpful anyway, because he's basically telling us something which is not so obvious, and that is that masa, the question is, what is the difference between maga and masa? Again, we're not learning Taurus now, but I just can't resist a little bit, in other words. So masa is something totally different, and it's not maga. Right, or masa is like a more flexible or an extension, you know, of maga. That's what the Ramban, you know, prefers. That might help us a little bit, you know, see why he's a little mistayeg from the Rambam's view regarding masa in Cherev Kechol. But the fact that the Torah doesn't mention it, you know, provides a, you know, the first, the more basic question is it tame, is it not tame? I mean, we need to know that, right? But it's also intriguing to know why the Torah didn't mention that. And the fact that we have to look it up from Kavach Omer, or to conclude that it's an extended maga or not an extended maga, is going to be important. So any time for the Rambam and for the Ramban and others, any time, you know, we are applying, let's say, the satellite cases of Tumas Meis, right, you know, if they're not clones and they're not, you know, kid, Legamri, you know, one of the questions that we're going to be wondering about, you know, is masa. Obviously, we're also going to be wondering about ohel, because ohel is also an exotic tumas meis din, not a typical maga. That's, of course, very mefurash bakra, but it's also very singular to tumas meis. So, you know, masa usually follows with maga in certain, you know, quality type tumas. So, in a way, for two opposite reasons, our antennae are going to be very sensitive to satellite issues regarding masa and ohel. That's the point I want to make. Okay, then continue. Al pnei asadeh.
I was in the Amr Lurabos Golel Bedofik. Shuto, Al pnei asadeh she'en sham ohel tame ames benigia. Oshin Rashi.
Yeah. But the Golel Bedofik, of course, is again an interesting satellite case, right? Because Golel Bedofik is not the mace. Right, it's a step removed. On the other hand, the goal of a dofek is a chalos, seemingly, you know, that's connected to the mace. It's not the negia. There's no transmission. You know, there's no, you know, conductivity, you know, from the mace through the goal of a dofek. But the goal of a dofek is whatever it is. That's also the bait. You know, well, let's assume it's the monument or whatever, you know, it could be. Yeah, go ahead. So that's another outlying case or satellite case. Go ahead. Okay, so we can skip a little bit down now to Chera, but the point is, again, you have Golo Vadofeg. I'm just saying, you know, as something to be looking at also, because it's also, you know, not a, you know, a standard Tumas Meis, and that's why we're, you know, already being told that Ein Nazir Megaleach Alav, right, that there's no Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, although Golem Adofek seemingly is Tumah D'Oraisa. Remember with the Urayim, right, the Urayim was, you know, kind of pressed to explain if what's singular about Golem Dofek and the reason that Ein Nazir Megaleach Alav is the fact that it's not Atzmo Shel Meis, then presumably Cherev Kechalo is not Atzmo Shel Meis either. So is it some din of Golem Dofek that, not because it's not Atzmo Shel Meis, but just it's Golem Dofek. It's not superconductivity either. Maybe it doesn't have you know, the idea of you know, Negia B'meis Agav, you know, Maybe it's a totally different thing. What is it about Gola V'Dofek that makes it different? Right? Are all the outlying, is it all just a, you know, a linear hierarchy, even if it's all Doraisa, like you have more intense, less intense, Atzmo Shomeis, everything else? Or, you know, once you introduce what we, you know, sketched out on Thursday, which is there are all sorts of different ways, you know, to explain, you know, a hierarchy of Tuvas Meis. You know, some are Chalos Bifnei Atzmo, and some are, you know, the... you know, the full embodiment of Tumas Meis, even if they aren't, you know, Maga, you know, B'meis, B'chetza Shomeis, Atzmo. And some are even kind of, you know, viewed as, you know, the Mechayev is Negias HaMeis Agav, as opposed to, you know, and so on. Once you have all those things, then the possibility that the satellites, you know, don't all break down in a linear hierarchical way either, but maybe this satellite is more that kind, you know, more intense in that kind of, you know, perspective, and the other one is more intense in that kind of perspective. So then what you're going to get, you know, is this, you know, more complicated in the charts. It's going to be more, like, you know, what's Nazir Megaleach, what's Bias Mikdash, what's Masa, what's Ohel, what's Hazaz Gimel V'Zayin. Instead of saying, like, the easiest thing would have been all or nothing, and everything else would drop out. Then the second easiest thing would have been, you know, there's a straight hierarchy, let's say the easiest. Chafza Shomeis, maybe there's an argument, what is or what isn't Chafza Shomeis, like what about Dam or Rova or, you know, skeletons and all that kind of stuff, or decomposed materials, I don't want to get too graphic, but like, you know, what is or what is not Atzmo Shomeis, fine, but it's either Atzmo Shomeis or Tumas Meis, right? But once we introduce these other categories, and it's not just because we're troublemakers, you know, but because apparently they're out there and they make sense and they correspond to things. So then the question is, you know, maybe certain dinim are more, you know, connected, you know, to a secondary contact with the or the meis agav, and others are no, it's a kalos bifnei atzmo, you know, and so on. So then you get like, you know, this has masa and giluach nazir, you know, but not ohel. You know, that has OL, but it doesn't have Giluach Nazir, then you're going to get distinctions. Okay. So that's why I just want to make that point. Okay. Now, what does he say about Cherev Kekalo? You could skip. You could skip to Rabbi Seinu also.
Yeah.
Now that's again, just you could see, I just want to point out the language that the Ramban is struggling with, right? Lahashvos hechalo v'acherev, like that's Rambam Pirush Mishnayos type language. I'm not saying you got it from there, but meaning you say something is shave, you're not saying that it is a clone, you know, or even a superconductor necessarily, right? You're saying it has the effect is that it's treated as, you know, having that level, basically. The hashvos achalachav, but then lomar shehu nasa again, hu nasa aviavos l'toma kimeis atzmo, right? Again, that's a comparison, but it doesn't mean that it's the extension of the mace or it's the conductivity from the mace, right? Go ahead. Umetami adam v'kelim tumas shiva. You're going to emphasize again. You're like have a tosefta in the back of your mind. We'll see that the Ramban in Bambasra quotes a Tosefta when he wants to, like, you know, drive the final nail, you know, against the Rabbeinu Tam and the Balitosis, you know, so he invokes the Tosefta and Taharos, which is really a problem for them. So, but the language already here, Kimeis Atzmo, Shave, Nase, you know, again, it didn't have to be that way, but I'm just saying when you put it together, you know, after the fact, you can appreciate the language that's being employed. Go ahead. Yeah, and notice it's Vahanira. Again, Nira usually means that it's not Mukhrach, but that's the overwhelming evidence, right? He doesn't say Mukhrach. Again, especially once you see that there's sign of acknowledged ambivalence, you know, in all of this. Eno kamohu letame ba'ohel. That's a chiddush of the, not only of the Ramban, but of the Ramban. Right? That's the, his bigger issue. You know, again, Reb Chaim Cohen's issue was not about Tumas Ohel. Right? Reb Chaim Cohen, as far as we know, thinks that not only is there Hazah, Gimel V'Zayin, but there's also Tumas Oel, right? It's just that he thinks that there's no Tumas Kohen. Okay? But the Ramban, and that's so interesting, basically likes Reb Chaim Cohen's, you know, conclusion, and he even is impressed with the, you know, Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shemeis, you know, but for him, it's a din in Ohel. Yeah?
Can we make a deal in the first Ramban by Ohel, where he says something like that? So it's maybe as hatuma.
Which is the language in the Mishnayos and everything, and,
okay,
and in general.
So,
but yeah, no, I think that is true. In other words, it highlights about Ohel something that is true, and that is that it's not, again, this is a big issue in Ohel. If something isn't an Ohel, so it's like, you know, the way you look at it is like, you know, the whole Ohel is filled up with the mace, you know? Or no, it's maybe a satuma. You know, we acknowledge that, you know, there's, you know, the tumma isn't really touching. It's not like, you know, the everything is solidified and it's all, you know, there. It's maybe a samay. That's, it's a more subtle, you know, and a different way, method of transmission. So I think you're right. I'm just saying it's not his language. That's typical language for, you know, for tumas mace. But I think it's not a coincidence that it's not insignificant that that's the language, and that we, you know, if the people don't think that it's, you know, kolabayis kilumale ames or something like that, same thing with, like, you know, klicheres and issues. So that's like a big issue. Is it called kemandamalia dami, or it's like maybe a satuma?
Because right? the more you emphasize kol kemandamalia dami, the less significant, presumably, the actual tuma has to be. But
right.
If it's mevinas a tuma, then you have to be more sensitive to the actual tuma.
Well, then the tuma has to have that power, but again, there's not negiya, it's not maga mamish, and therefore, you know, just because it's maga tuma, cherevus kecholol, doesn't mean that ola meis is going to be. It's like, it is a way of accentuating or emphasizing that ola meis is mechudash, and, you know, it could be limited to certain types of meis, maybe atzmo shel meis, or whatever the... Okay, go ahead. Oh, this is a great line again. Go ahead again. Shema. So he has both. Now that second line is, you know, is from Chaim Cohen, but we know that from, you know, the Bali Tosfos all over the place, and the Ramban himself in Bava Basra quotes it approvingly. So again, and he wasn't a Kohen, right? So, you know, but maybe he was empathetic to a Chaim, a Kohen who was a Kohen.
That's why he has to say the whole part.
What?
That's why he says
the whole first one. Yeah. But it's so fascinating, and again, this is what people like the Ramban can do, right? You know, maybe Shema Matsu Miut Minakasu Ba'oel, I mean, you can just see what's going on here. Like, you know, the Ramban taking out his, you know, his magnifying glass, you know, saying, let me look at those psukim again, you know? And saying, aha! You know, the epiphany, you know, making the diuk in the pasuk, and again, he's reconstructing backwards, clearly, like, you know, seems like, you know, there shouldn't be, you know, tumas koanim for, you know, cherev kecholol. Is there a diuk in the pasuk? You know, and that's what he did, and I just think that's amazing, but okay. Okay, go ahead, keep going. Now again, it's clear that he doesn't chen nira od b'gemara, right? Because now we know that it's not so pashut. It depends how you read that gemara in Nazir, you know, and whether the gemara is talking about mateches or shetef, or, you know, it's dafka or lav dafka. But, you know, once you think, it's so interesting how it comes. I mean, for the Ramban, at least in the presentation. Like the davar pashut yoser mikol davar is ohel, right? And you know, from ohel, you know, once we know that cherev kecholol, you know, is not, you know, identical or shava legamri, you know, so then it opens up everything else, right? So now what about gimel v'zayin? Remember, Reb Chaim Cohen did not embrace the view that. Because he thought that's, you know, that the, you know, the Mishnah is not talking about mateches, right? It's talking about, you know, kelim acherim, you know. But you know, Mateches has Gimel v'Zayin. That's the view of Reb Chaim Cohen. But the Ramban, even though he's adopting Reb Chaim Cohen, that's one of the things I want to point out, even though he's adopting this, you know, middle position, you know, for him, he's already solved the problem anyway of, you know, in Bayis Ashrein Shameis with the Ohel part, which Reb Chaim Cohen didn't. And therefore, you know, the Gimel v'Zayin, you know, is the next stage. Okay. So again, comparing the two is instructive. They're both compromising, but it's different, you know, compromises. So the boxes on your, you know, spreadsheet or whatever are going to be very different, and the implications are going to be different in terms of what the hierarchy is. Okay. Apple P. Meaning in terms of the minyan, Rishon Sheni or whatever, you know, this is certainly the case. Does Hazah, Gimel V'Zayin depend on that? Or no, it's connected with Tumas Oel, you know, meaning that nuance. Okay? Yeah, so now here comes another deal. Again, this is the Ramban, you know, in his full powers. The Ramban saying, oh, again, look at the Psukim again, right? Turn up the magnifying power, I guess. And there's a diuk here, not only that Ohel isn't applied to Cherev Kechalo, but, you know, Cherev Kechalo is also not mentioned in Hazaz Gimel V'Zayim. Bim Kain, Hari Cherev Kechalo letame b'maga,
avalo letame b'Ohel, avalo letzrik ha'azah, v'ein ha'nazmer galeah halav, v'ein ha'kohen mazah b'mago klal.
Yeah. Who are korovanir midivra avoseinu? Then he has a beautiful thing in the end, you know, vanachnu avoseinu tmei galus, you know, etc. Which is also, you know, this is the Ramban who, like, you know, yearned to be, you know, in Eretz Yisrael and you know the Makom Hamikdash, you know, and so on. So it's just a beautiful, yeah. So this is the Ramban al Torah, and then just if we could do the Ramban on Yavon and Babasra, that's a little hard. That's a little longer, but you know, try to go quickly. More quickly, I guess. But again, it's just worth just seeing the shakla. It's not just the words and the shitos, but the way that he is struggling with it. All of it exudes this, you know, sense of, yeah.
He keeps saying that the Ramban is taking more of like a middle position, but it seems like the Ramban is consistently taking more of the minimalist.
Well, he's not sure where to draw the line.
I mean, have we seen any formulations, at least a la Torah, yet that like show that he's really struggling? Aside from like the, maybe that first line. That like show that he's really struggling with it.
Well, I think it all shows that he's struggling with it. You know what? You're right.
I guess the conclusions
are always on the minimalist side,
right?
But only based on, you know, the psukim.
I guess we'll get to Baba Basra. In the end, he has like a line of Baba Basra, which like really strongly shows that even like his first line in Al-Tur, which is it's nice, kemes atzma, is like very limited. It's just to make it tami latami to mashiva.
Because I think in the end, when he finds the Tosefta, or when he, you know, that he's all I'm saying is that the way that he's treating it one by one, he's not.
More so than like the writer who just kind of wipes away the whole.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's more that I guess the process and the implication that, you know, I think that this is the basket in the end of things, you know, that Cherev Kechalo, that Cherev is not Kechalo. But I admit that one could have drawn, I mean the Ramban, I admit one could have drawn the line, you know, here or here or here, is what I'm trying to say.
That he does like an itemized way that it's not
right. Exactly.
It's totally not kechal. Throws the whole thing out the window. It's very
exactly.
Much,
okay. Each one is like a struggle, and if you end up with, I think your point is good, which is oh, in the aggregate, this is how he's ending up, and then maybe the next question you ask him, you know, or does he see it? It's kechal, but it's more about each of these applications than it is. That I'm not sure, but I hear that, and I think it's a good point. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, just that I don't fully understand Rebbe's explanation of the fact that it's that he's struggling in each place. Cause it seems like in each place he's approaching it. Even when he quotes the second idea that he's not, when he says it's not mechadesh the idea of mechad kechol in the maga situation, it seems like he's coming from the angle of in lecha bo elchidusha for mechad kechol. Meaning in each place, but it's not.
Well, I don't think he's saying in lecha elchidusha. I think he's saying that the evidence in the psukim or the evidence in the Gemara. Is consistent, even though he's kind of acknowledging that Yesh Cholkim, and that, you know, one could be Cholik, you know, with these conclusions. He never says Ein Chol Bala Kiddush.
He says Velo Amar O Bechal Cherev, and he doesn't seem like he's saying.
No, he's saying that's a diuk in the pasuk.
Right, and he's saying since Bechal Cherev is not Dafka Mechadish in this situation, therefore we don't hold of.
All I'm saying is that basically it's line by line. It's what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? If you took the again, it's an impression, but I stand by the impression. But I don't mind if you argue with it. If you start off with the view that Cherev Kechalal is mechudash, you know, and it has a very limited meaning, then you don't need to do this, you know, line by line. You just need to say. That you know, we know Cherev Kechalal applies to Rishon and Sheni and Shlishi and Truma and Tum and Truma and Kadshim, you know, etc. Meaning the ability to try, you know, what it does to others. The whole thing is an unbelievable, you know, Kiddush, and therefore, you know, the assumption it's not really Cherev Kechalal, and therefore there's no reason to think that any of these things apply. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is. He is, you know, struggling with each line item. He's starting off by saying, "Cherev kachalo lahashvos cherev kachalo lomar shunasa aviyosum kimeisatzmo," and then he's like whittling it down based on the evidence. That's how I read it. But you could argue.
He doesn't the Ramban and Bava Basra also, even though.
So we'll see. Let's look at the Ramban and Bava Basra. Right. So again, he first takes Rabbeinu Tam very very seriously, and then he's attacking Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah.
Aaron Berman over here showed me a. Rabbeinu Bechayai, which reads Rabbeinu Bechayai like Ramban.
Yeah?
So I can read it right now.
Yeah, please.
It says, Ma'ashish l'din cholal hu atame adam akilim tumas shiva v'alul tame bo'al. Ma'ashkosa adam kiyamas bo'al. Adam tame bo'al v'ol v'lucher. She'ilu ha'yu acher shenog bo'al adam tame bo'al v'yifu ha'kwan master v'nukonis debatim che'ku kukun ish acher tame v'yad yu tame osa bo'al. Ke'inan shashal acher v'fer Bechayim
Well, no, that again, Rabban quotes that in as well. You know, what is he quoting from Reb Chaim Cohen? That Tumas Ohel doesn't apply to Chaver Chalal, or that Ezabayis Asher Tivnuli, you know, proves that it's inconceivable that you know that this will accomplish Tumas Kohen. But there's nothing in Rabbeinu Bechayai really that's different than, as far as we just read, that's different than what Ramban quotes in Bava Basra, which is that what Reb Chaim Cohen said to Rabbeinu Tam was, this is inconceivable. Okay. But the report that we have in Tosfos Nazir is this is inconceivable because, you know, per se, can't be metame Tumas Kohen. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechayai quoting the Ramban, which is not unusual because Rabbeinu Bechayai is always working off the Ramban in his Perashat Torah, is saying there's no Tumas Ohel. Then later he's going to say there's no Tumas Kohen. Right?
He's not saying because Rabbeinu Bechayai said that? Or?
No, I think what he's quoting for Bechayim Cohen is the, you know, Ezabayis Tivnuli, you know, there would always the sensibility that it's impossible. That you know that this could create that result because then there wouldn't be no situation where a coin could escape it. So that's all he's quoting from Chaim Cohen. What he may have thought more than that, but as far as I know, that's all he's quoting. From what you just quoted, that's all he's quoting. That line, which is a terrific line, you know, and the implication of it, like you know, it's inconceivable, you know. But therefore, what? Therefore, you know, again, Chaim Cohen didn't say there's no Tumas Ohel. Right. He just said that there is Tumas Ohel. If you say there's no Tumas Ohel, you don't have to conclude that Cherev Kechalal. Let's say you have Maga Cherev Kechalal. Is that something that a Kohen is Nizar Olam? For Chaim Cohen? Seems like the conclusion is, he's saying, the assumption of Chaim Cohen seems to be that there is Ohel. I mean, you could transmit Cherev Kechalal through an Ohel. Therefore, it just has to be that Cherev Kechalal itself is not as hard as Tumas Kohen, and that would be true even for Maga or Masa.
I don't understand why that's the assumption.
What's that?
I don't understand why that's the assumption.
I mean, that's what he says.
All he's saying is that...
That's what Tosfos Tatzur of Chaim Cohen says in Nazir. He doesn't say anything about Ohel, per se. What?
That's Rabbeinu Chaim or Tosfos.
The way Chaim Cohen is quoted in Tosfos... in Nazir, is to prove that there's no Tumas Kohanim, right, for Cherev Kechalal. right? The background is that since there is ohel for cherev kachalo, right, there would be ein bias asherin, you know, sham tumas kohanim. The Ramban is putting the emphasis on the ohel part. He also agrees in the end that there's no tumas kohanim once he gets into the nazir megaleach and so on. But we'll get to just looking at Bavasser, the same thing. Okay, Azriel, go ahead. He will skip around here a little bit just to get it, just to see what's happening. Go ahead.
You are saying no. Chav shalat tefes. Kasher Rabbeinu Tam zal the ha kaim alon. Cherev harev kachalal. Mitami ohel.
Notice Rabbeinu Tam here is formulated as that there's too much. Because again, this is the Ramban talking, right? In Rabbeinu Tam himself, that's implicit.
He says it explicitly on Nun Gimel.
On
Nazir Nun Gimel, that it's mitami
ohel. The Tosis there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is mitami ohel.
Okay. Yeah. That could be. And again, they assume it. Tosis assumes it, Reb Chaim Cohen assumes it. I'm just saying that wasn't even like on the radar screen so much of being, you know. So, okay. So either they knew it, but it's implicit either way. But for the Ramban, it's front and center. Because like that's his big issue. Or his possibility of being Mechalik. Go ahead. Yeah, meaning this is the Ramban now. Meaning, yeah. I mean, don't think, you know, for Rabbeinu Tam, that there's a difference between in Ohel between, you know, that Cherev Kachal doesn't work in Ohel. It does. Yeah. Yeah, you could skip a little bit. Let's say to the second to last line of that paragraph. Ishtaka chashta lekul alma. The chol dvara, that's a key word, right? I mean, it's everything. It's for the reasons that we discussed, right? For various reasons. Okay? If he's a kasha, the sugya in Shabbos itself. I mean, the sugya in, Balbas. Okay, skip a little bit. Yesh misha omer.
Yesh misha omer, the chiamrinan cherev harev kachalal. Hanil inyan magu mas, aval inyan ohal kolomar. Shit mahu acherim bo ohal inu kachalal.
Okay, you could skip a little bit because I don't want to spend more time than we need to. But Umru, do you have that? Shekola kelem anogim b'meis.
Umru shekola kelem anogim b'meis harehin kachalal. V'lo ne'mar cherev el lohotzi kli cheres.
That's another daya, right? That's Kolakelim. That's the dude. That's the Rimi Simpont, right? And the Rambam.
Because
why you don't need matechas?
Right. Veirush achar yishli sham shmua. Vimza emes kemen duchol hakelim kamrinon. Hachi bade la litmuye bo'ohel kamrinon. Sharei yavshar lo markim.
So this is an interesting point. This touches the question, you know, and that is that whether the question of matechas or kol kli only affects the, you know, the way you read certain gemaras, and therefore mimela it ends up, you know, being an important factor in determining the evidence about the scope of Cherev Kachalal, or is it something more than that, like there's a conceptual link, you know, to it? Again, it's impossible to know, prove, but it definitely sounds in the Ramban like there is like a certain natural affinity to saying that if this is a Dafka Mateches, right, then it is, you know, the Cherev Kachalal is much more serious. Okay. Either way, the Omru Shekola Kelem Medogim Medeis Rein Kachalal. That was another one. Second. Oh, that we just did. Okay. So now, skip, just because here's where it gets more. Viraya Havior Benetam of Dvar of Dafka Cherev, who?
Dithnamapar, pointing out of the Nazir, Al Ilu Hatumos Hanazim Galeah, Huleah, Bal Ilu in Hanazim Galeah. Yagatani, Bal Akilim Hanogim, the Mace, Maza, Shlishi, Shvi,
So that's a great line again. That's pretty much what we have in our Tosfos too, though, which is that from the perspective of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's l'chol advarim, where it's just really, you know, the default is that it's equal in every way, then, you know, why would there be a distinction between Kalim and any other Tumas Meis regarding Gimel V'Zayin? Like, Gimel V'Zayin is a natural consequence. Gimel V'Zayin is Schar of Kachal. Okay? Bishol Rabbeinu Tam Nicha. Right, but it's inconceivable that you'd have a cherev kachala without a gimel v'zayin. That's really what we're thinking. Odei Omer Rabbeinu Tam.
Odei Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Lo tema hu hadin, dematzi lokma b'kli matchos. Ela vade lo matzi lokma klal b'kli matchos.
Dim kain kasha. You can't say the second Mishnah in Nazir is talking about kli matachas. Right, and therefore it has Hazas Gimel V'Zayin against the Gemara. He couldn't say that because then it would be in a Mishnah that is titled by Ein Hanazir Megaleach Chalav. Right. Because again, this we have already in Tosis, but again, it's driving home the point that like it's inconceivable. If you say Cherub Kachalov, then you know you mean it. So there has to be Gimel V'Zayin. There has to be even Nazir Megaleach. Right, and then therefore there has to be presumably the other things too. So here's the question, namely, what do you do about Tumas Kohen? So again, according to the Arayim, you know, version, and the simple pshat in Tosfos and Nazir, Rabbeinu Tam says, sorry, that's what it is, right? Kohanim should, you know, what do you mean in bias Asherein Shammeis? So, I don't know. Excavate, or I don't know, what do you do? Knock down the walls, build it again? Pretty drastic, I guess? I don't know. What?
Live in a tent.
Live in a tent? A new tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sukkah? Yeah. Okay, but basically, this in some versions of Rabbeinu Tam, the assumption is, yeah, you need an answer, you know, to that question. So is Rabbeinu Tam going to turn, you know, on Ohel or on Tumas Kohanim? You know, one, the other, both? Like, what's he going to do, right? Go ahead.
Yeah.
So again, this is the same as what, you know, what the, you know, what Ramban is alluding to in his Parashat Torah, and that Rabbeinu B'chaim made more explicit. I mean, B'chaim Cohen just said, lo yitachein. You know, but he said lo yitachein not so much because of Ohel, he said lo yitachein because of straight, the Tumas Cohen is lo yitachein. Right? Assuming that Ohel is fine. Once you cut off Ohel, you don't necessarily have to say the rest of it, unless conceptually, this is the point I want to make, unless conceptually you're just convinced in the hierarchy of things, because once there's a chink in the armor, and Cherev is no longer Kecholol completely, you know, ad kedei kach, that, you know, it's not metame boel, so, you know, maybe for equal reason, you know, it's not metame, you know, or kekoin is eidon Israelah. I mean, it becomes an interesting question now. You could answer a Chaim Cohen's bigger question, right, by either attacking Ohel or broadly Azaras Cohen. That's all I'm trying to say. Reb Chaim Cohen, according to the Lashonos that we have, is doing the second, and the Ramban mostly is doing the first. Either of them answers the question. Then the Ramban piles on because, you know, again, that's the you know, and then let's look at the Psukim again, and maybe even Gimel V'Zayin. But that's what I mean by being, you know, in my opinion, piecemeal. Whatever the result ends up being, I think it's an interesting question in light of Adam Tahara. In other words, what is the, in the end, if you ask the Ramban, what do you think about Cherev Kachala? Is he saying, well, I was very open-minded, you know, in analyzing it, and I was going Bahadragah, you know, like an accountant, line by line, you know, But that's the way you're supposed to read also, the Rabbis always say, you know, line by line. So, you know, I was very cautious, right? And I was, extremely careful, you know. And now that I've come to the conclusion that there's no Tumas Meis, there's no Gimel V'Zayin, there's no Tumas Kohanim, there's no B'yas Mikdash, you know, so the next time you ask me a question, or if you ask me conceptually about Karev Kachalal, you know, I've bought into the camp, that it's just a din in Rishon, Sheni, and so on, and, you know, and kind of an Ein B'chob Elokeinu. That I'm not sure about. Or does it remain? No, I'm into Karev Kachalal. There aren't so many Nafgamina, but that's more because, you know, the evidence, you know, indicates, and therefore maybe we have to reassess what these other things are dependent on. They're much more connected to Hatzma Shomeis or to, you know, things like that. That I'm not sure about. But I do think that the care and the piecemeal treatment, you know, and the openness along the way is like very, it's a window into the Ramban's, you know, the way that he's analyzing it so carefully. Go ahead. So here's a different perspective, right? Within Rebbeinu Tam, not the Urim, certainly, and that is to me appears in other places too. The klal, right, is not foolproof. Ooh. Okay. So what's the point of the klal? This, what does this remind us from last year? We talked about, you know, is the klal of, you know, komakom sheshnayim mechayvin osam moment erechem mechayv shvua. Ein lemeidim min haklalos. But one way you say Ein Lemeidim Min HaKlalos is like, oh, it's a mnemonic device, it's conceptually insignificant, but if you don't want to, you know, clog your, you know, data storage in your brain, you know, by remembering every detail, so you want to give yourself like a rule of thumb, you know, not conceptual at all, just like, you know, to know, you know, default what it is. So this is what it is. That's one kind of a, you know, Ein Lemeidim Min HaKlalos. The other Ein Lemeidim Min HaKlalos is, it's true, it's conceptually true. There are a lot of exceptions. There are a lot of exceptions because there's a subtle din going on here. The klal itself is subtle. Some of the applications are subtle, you know, etc. So this is a very interesting, you know, issue. Like, is Rabbeinu Tam saying here, you know, there's a hierarchy of Dinei Tumas Meis? You know, for sure he's saying that on some level. Is he saying, you know, that it's really a powerful concept, or is he saying, you know, it's very limited? Hard to know. But what's fascinating about this, you know, version of Rabbeinu Tam, you know, is that he's going to attack it on both sides, as we'll see in a second. What do I mean by that, Israel? Go ahead. Oh, so Revius Dam, just stop for a second. So Revius Dam ain nazar megaleach alav. Good. But a coin is muzar alav. V'yeshlo din meis gamur. Ah. He's a meis gamur. So why is nazar not megaleach alav? So you see, there can be things that nazar is not megaleach alav for reasons that have to do with nazar. Right? Oh. Is that helping Rabbeinu Tam? Alone? Is that helping Rabbeinu Tam? Israel?
It's not literally called.
What?
I mean, even though it's like...
No, even more than that, meaning...
One-directional.
It's one-directional, and it's the wrong direction. Right?
That's what the Ramban points out.
Which is what the Ramban points out. Right, so let's just read the line of the Ramban. Right, Bi'af anu nomar. So this is the continuation of Rabbeinu Tam. So too, what are we saying? We're saying that Revius Dam is not Nazir Megaleach, right? But it is Tumas Kohanim. And therefore what? Where does Rabbeinu Tam want to go? That even though Kherb Kachol is Megaleach, right, there's no Tumas Kohanim. Right? So that's a proof. Okay, the Af Anu Nomar, go ahead, Bikli Matachos.
Af Apisha Nazir Megaleach, in HaKohen Muzar.
That's the version I heard of Rabbeinu Tam, says the Ramban. Okay, go ahead. First of all, that's a great line, right? So number one, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ramban says, the Nazir Megaleach piece doesn't, you know, in terms of breaking the klal in any direction, doesn't impress me so much, because Dam is a Chepsa Shel Tumas Meis. Just the amount you know, there's a difference between a shiur and a shame. Okay. Okay, that's a good chiluk in general, you know, and again, you know, a good example, the Ramban struggling with the issue, except that at the end of the day, it's still fascinating. We're still broken. I mean, is it Tumas Meis or not? So again, this might have something to do, you know, with what I was talking about the other day, but Atzmo Shomeis, right, and the idea that, you know, that the Rishonim point out that in Giluach Nazir, the Parsha doesn't speak about Tumas Meis, it speaks about encountering a Chefza Shomeis, right? So what I was trying to say was, when you try to figure out to draw the line, what is a Chefza Shomeis and what is not, right, there could be qualitative issues and quantitative issues, like, you know, how much dam, the dam comes from the mace, but how much quantity of dam is enough to be considered like a representation of Chefza Shomeis, or the skeleton, or the decomposed parts, you know, and so on. That is a little different than something like Golem Adofeik, you know, or Cherev Kechalol, you know, or Tmei Mace, you know, or Ohela Mace, you know, etc. Right? But maybe the idea, you know, of what the Ramban is saying here is, like, Dam is Chefza Shomeis, but you need a certain quantity of Dam that can be considered, you know, encountering, you know, Gufa Mace. Right? And maybe for, you know, for Tumas Kohen, you know, you don't have to encounter the whole mace or a Chefza Shomeis. Maybe it's, you know, any contact with the mace, with the tziruf to the mace. I mean, again, you can formulate it in different ways. But, you know, that's what he's saying. Rabbeinu Tam might say to you, like, what are you talking about? Either, you know, maybe Rabbeinu Tam is saying, there's the Chefza Shomeis. That's Koveya for Giluach Nazir, maybe. And then Tumas Kohanim has a whole different category. Like, even if it weren't true that the Lug of Dam, you know, was the Begalech Nazir, maybe it's just, it's not, you know, question of drawing the line in a small difference, but it just shows that the criteria are completely different, right? And in some respect, this is what I meant before, about there, is there a straightforward linear hierarchy, even if there are different categories? So this is like, you know, pure Platonic Tumas Meis, you know, and in the other direction is something that's like the least, you know, Mitzura for, or Chefza, or intense, you know, Tumas Meis, and then it just goes straight in a hierarchy, and we, you know, it would be easier for us. And that's kind of what the Ramban is saying on some level, right? And Rabbeinu Tam, here, of all people, seems to be saying it's not all one din, and it's also not just a quantitative, you know, or even a qualitative straight hierarchy. So what I can prove from breaking the obviously the equation needs to still mean something, unless it's just mnemonic. So even so, it would be most fascinating thing for Rabbeinu Tam, as it's reported here, would be to say the klal means something. Right? And there are certain issues of Tumas Meis, Chefza Shomeis, right? In which this kesher applies. Because otherwise, what do you have a klal for? Unless it's just a memory device. At the same time, there are exceptions on both sides, because with regard to the, you know, different types of shame of Tumas Meis, right, there's more than one, and in you know, and for one issue this is better, and for the other issue that's better. Right? So Rabia's Dam, right, is more, you know, is closer to the Platonic Tumas Meis when it comes to Tumas Kohanim, and Cherev Kechalol is closer to the Platonic Tumas Meis when it comes to Nazir Megaleach. That's what's coming out of Rabbeinu Tam, according to this version. Keep going, just the Apilu Dvara. Meaning it's only, all Rabbeinu Tam proved was that it doesn't always go the same in one direction, but the pashtus is, that's because Nozer Megaleach is a more intense form, and Kohen Muzar is a little less intense. You know, again, quantitative or even qualitative, fine. But what is that? That proves that you could ignore it in the other direction? And Rabbeinu Tam will say, not less, not more, different. Right? Okay. Well, Ifrich for the maiden, amen. Va'od. Meaning, even if you say in lemeidim in akolos, as we said before, it doesn't mean it's a mnemonic device. It means that, roughly speaking, it's one din. And if there are exceptions, then there are exceptions. But, you know, until we know there are exceptions, the default is that they're the same. So these are very critical, like, issues. Okay, go ahead. Then the Ramban gets his epiphany about the Tosefta. Oh, I mean, Rabbeinu Tam's wrong about Nazir Megaleach, not just about, you know, because that too is something which is not subject to V'chein Nira. That's a great example. Again, V'chein Nira Mikan, which was not based on evidence in the Gemara, but once we're saying that there's no Nazir Megaleach, right? Then Cherv Kachalol, you know, there's starting to be too many holes in the Chafadimyon, right? So Nira Mikan, She'ena Kameis La'ohel U La'hazaya. Although again, in the Alat Torah, you saw that it was, you know, Bahadragai, even that first Ohel, then Hazaya, even in terms of the Psukim and so on, right? She'im Kain Lama Ena Nazar Megaleach Hareu Kameis L'chol Devarav, which is the court of Rabbeinu Tam. So I just pointing out, you see what's going on and what they're struggling with, both linguistically and application, and it's very, very impressive. Okay, go ahead. Then he has, let's skip a little bit. He quotes the Rambam, right, that the Rambam's view also is, V'chein daito she'ein kelem menogim emes v'tamim v'ohel. Then v'od amar, because the deal correctly, we'll see inside. She'ina metami b'masa, right? Lefisha masa lemeis atzmo, eino ba ela b'kav chomer minevela. V'zet tzarech iyun, because the Ramban himself in this parish Alat Torah also seems to be mistayek from that. What's fascinating is that the Ramban does say that there's no masa for, I think, for a goal of a dofek, right? But given also that his view of that Masa is an extension of Maga, I think that's part of the story, but he doesn't want to go as far as the Rambam. Okay? So Ohel, you know, Gimel V'Zayin, Giluach Nazir, and Azaris Kohen, that he's good with. But Masa, that far he doesn't want to go. Again, mostly because of Masa or because Karev Chalal, you know, still has some standing. Hard to know. Mikomakom, it's meaning now again he's saying meaning even though he's come already down firmly about Ol and Tumas Kohanim and you know presumably Bias Mikdash and Giloach Nazir, he's still not so sure about Hazas Gimel Zayin, right? Tzricha Rabba. Okay. Varisi the Rabba Moshe and his car.
Sha'amar Reachos Nazir, Shayira Lo, Dimash Amru, Demand Naga Bakilim, Lav Bar Haza, the Nazir Bilad Amru.
Yeah. The special din in Nazir.
Shayme Tumaso Olin Lo, Laminion, and Nazirusa. The Mahaya Maza Lohaya Olin, Tishar, Ahat Meos, Shashanu, Sham Shayno Megalea.
Right, Maza Venusoser. I'm sorry, Mizev. No, Maza Venusoser. Matzkel Mona Miyad. He doesn't like the Rambam at all. Not surprising.
She'ein and Surat Hagemara Ken. Shem Din Miyuchadu Zeb Ben Nazir. M Ken Sarachu Shehei Halacha LaMoshe B'Sinai. Lo His Kiru Ken Megemara.
So what's the answer? What's the Rambam's answer to that? We'll see when we look at El Nazir. I guess we'll have to take another just a few minutes on Tuesday. But I really want, you know, Tuesday we start the other parts. But what would the Rambam answer to this? Is it Gzeres HaKasav and Nazir? Where's the Gzeres HaKasav? Does it need an Gzeres HaKasav and Nazir? I mean, it is a little bit obviously a special din in Nazir, but is it a special din in Nazir that has nothing to do with Tumas Meis? Or it's a special din in Nazir because, to begin with, this is a lower or a different or more vulnerable category in Tumas Meis. Right, so it's Novea. If you know what you need in Nazir, you know, which again, Atzmo Shel Meis is particularly, an acute category, an acute requirement, you know, in Nazir Megaleach. It's not a din of Tumas. That's what the Rambam himself points out at Pirush Mishnayos, you know, based on other Makoros too. you know, b'feta pitom, you bump into, you encounter the mace. Once you have that high criteria in Nazir, right, then the fact that Cherev Kachal doesn't apply to certain dinim, maybe even for Gimel V'Zayin, maybe it's even Ola. Again, it disrupts, it's a fact, we'll talk about the Ramshita very briefly, but I mean, it disrupts the Nazirus, right, until you neutralize it. But then it's, you know, Lamafreya doesn't disrupt it. Right. So why should that be? So of course that has to do with Nazir, for sure. You know, but it has, it's only because of Cherev Kechalol, based on, you know, our global understanding of it, you know, being completely disconnected from Chefta Shalmeis. So, you know, you don't need Halacha L'Moshe Misinai about Naziris for that. You just need to know what the hierarchies are and what the requirements are. That's how the Rambam, I believe, would answer. Yeah.
The Rambam also says the same thing about Nagaba Ohel. So you can't only say it's a din.
He says both. He puts them together in Perek Zion there. 100%. Well, when we look at the Rambam's language, we'll talk about it. Okay. Elastam Ikshu. Okay. Aval Nirali Shema Akar Shariba Akasiv Cherek Chala. Go ahead.
Pasuk Rishon. Pasuk Rishon L'Tama Loshno. So Pasuk Sheni.
This is exactly what he said in the Ramban on the Torah. Meaning he says, in my opinion, but again, he's bringing Raya from Diyukim in Torah Shemachsav. It's like fascinating, right? Yeah, find a bit of fray. I'll get back to that.
Magid HaKasav Shekashim, Shehevi Kulon, Alinin Tamar, Kach Hevi Kulon, Linin Hazah, Varehan Ogev, Vacherev, Lo Hevi, Yikam Lamdu, Sheino, Ben Hazah, Pasha HaKasav, Mithaya, Yikseva Chibasa, Migdecham, Yom HaShvi, Vitar Tam,
So this is also a great line, right? Kol shekeinim ena mitamin b'masa, which is the Rambam shita, right? Shekarov lepotra min azah, right? The Rambam doesn't necessarily think that's true, because remember, the Rambam Shita is that there is no Hazah Skimel V'Zayin for Cherev Kechalol in Nazir, but there is Hazah Skimel V'Zayin for Cherev Kechalol elsewhere, right? Even though, right, he's of the opinion that there is no Masa anywhere. So again, one of the things I'm just trying to highlight with this, in addition to the language and the train of thought and so on, is that the hierarchies for Tosas, for Reb Chaim Cohen, for the Ramban, for the Rambam, and for others, you know, are not the same. They're not the same at all. This kol shekein of the, because Ramban thinks that Masa is practically Maga, right? You know, and you know, he's not sure about Gimel V'Zayin, right? But the Rambam does think that Gimel V'Zayin outside of Nazir applies. You know, and yet he thinks that Masa is more of an. Maybe he starts off all Hilchos Tumas Mei starts off practically by noting the absence of Masa, even though he's putting it back in, and he's going to tell you he doesn't think it's Divrei Sofrim. That's a little bit, I think, methinks, you know, he doth protest too much, a little bit. I'll explain. But so the Rambam is totally fine in that respect. And again, it's consistent kind of with what his concerns are. You know, the Ramban is like he's an Ohel man. The Rambam is a Masa person, you know. You know, Reb Chaim Cohen is a, you know, Tumas Kohanim person. Well, you know, what do they think in the hierarchy? You know, some people are Giloach Nazir people. Right. Okay, let's continue. The final is a good quote. Yeah. He just notes that the Yerushalmi and the Babli may differ with regard to the relationship between the Chitui, between Gimel V'Zayin, and Bias Mikdash. That might be a machlokas between the Babli and the Yerushalmi. Okay. I'm sorry, it took longer than I thought. I apologize for that. But I think it's important just to get, you know, the nuances here. I do want to finish up just quickly. You know, we won't spend much time. Just to go through the Lashonos of the Rambam in the places, and Nazir and, you know, Tumas Meis and B.S. Mikdash at least. And Hilchos Avel, if you get a chance, before he talks about Tumas Kohanim. So just a few minutes, and then let's, you know, this hopefully gives you a little more time to do the Shakla Mataria, you know, first through Gimel and Beis and then through Vav and Aleph, just to get familiar with the Lo Rezez and the hybrid cases, and to look at the Rush, again, the Rush and the Rush, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Grizz to start with, and then we'll add more. But to start thinking about the relationship of the Avos Tzadikim to each other, and also to their own toldos. Okay. Well, so we'll continue with that on Tuesday. And tomorrow we have regular...